Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry, Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Rhode and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
You're listening to the Let Him Cook Podcast, fueled by Cody Rhode in the Wild Rose Casino Studios. Nigel, the last Let Him Cook of the 23-24 season. March has marched. We have come out on the other side of the college basketball season. We are in full transfer portal and coaching carousel, and there's still college basketball content to be had, but the games have been finished. And I want to see if you agree with me. I often say that I love March Madness, but it is rarely the best way to reward the best team in college basketball. But I think the best team in both the men and women's game won the championship this year. And I think that's often not the case. And I mean, I think you can make the argument for Purdue or Houston in the men's game. Of course, Iowa. I would even throw LSU. I think, you know, whoever won that.
UConn.
Right. Like there's a lot of good teams, but I think the great team in both men and women's proved that they were the great team. Do you feel the same way after the outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, for once in a long time, UConn obviously kind of diminished the whole overall, the number one overall seed doesn't win, and the back-to-back isn't like even possible anymore. Like, I feel like people kind of got into that mentality of like, it's just kind of a, most years you're going to lose a lot of guys and the turnaround is not going to be national championship, you know, pedigree. So I think for them to do what they did, I think it was a huge feat. I mean, we haven't seen it done since Joakim Noah and Florida and all those boys. So right. I think just to be able to do those when kind of all the odds are against you. I mean, shout out to Dan Hurley. I mean, I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about him, but you know, him being a Hurley, I always have kind of respected him and I've always silently cheered for him. If as long as he's not beating Iowa State or Duke, I can't really be mad at the guy, because it's like he is got that a-hole mentality, but it's like he's still doing things the right way. He's not depending on, you know, just throwing kids bags. He's still wanting to build the program the way it should be built. And I think, you know, to be able to return half of that national championship roster and then get a McDonald's All-American, get a few transfers, and like that's it, be able to do what he did this year was really impressive, especially in this you know, new generation that is college basketball. And then obviously South Carolina, I mean, I was hoping. No, Dylan, you're not lagging. Okay. I was hoping that, you know, South Carolina would take care of business, and obviously they did. Just to see how close they got last year, and then they fell to Iowa. I was glad they got to look back, especially in the national championship. I know, aside from that national championship, the only other game we probably would have wanted to see in the national championship was LSU and Iowa. So I'm glad we got what we got when we got that. And I'm just glad Dawn Staley was able to, you know, get over that mountaintop again. I know she was showing him, it was visible on camera that this season clearly took a toll on her. And guys, we need to have more media on teams like South Carolina. I understand the Caitlin story is cute. This isn't a beauty pageant. This is basketball. Okay. When a team is undefeated, I want as many feature stories on that team than Iowa. All right. Like we all, it, to the point where like, Gabby Marshall, great player, but she's getting almost and just as much attention as Caitlin at times because she's on the same stage and team as Caitlin. That's ridiculous. The fact that I couldn't name you the eight, nine guys that were playing for South Carolina. That's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if that's on South Carolina local media or national media. Both of you are at fault in my book. That cannot happen again, where we have a lady team in the climate of women's basketball right now, go undefeated, and we know little to nothing about that team. Like, from a deep on a deep on a deeper value. Like, it's just, I just hated how little of coverage they got and how little they were being talked about the entire season. But other than that, congrats to both teams. They're like the best teams won.
I was having this conversation yesterday on where I'm glad that ESPN is finally pushing women's basketball, college basketball, the way it is. But I think it is too player centric. Like I think the men's, and it's stupid because it's the same companies. For so long, it was about the coaching matchups, right? It was like Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Tom Izzo, Jim Boeheim, Bill Self. Like, they knew that coaches are going to be at those teams for years and years and years. And you'll get a Zion Williamson for 1 year. You'll get a Caitlin Clark for 4 years, and or like a Paige Beckers, or a, you know, like they do this every time where they find kind of that the person that has the it factor that's bringing in the ratings. And then they go on to the WNBA, and now, you know, the college basketball media factory has to start from square one. And I would guess Juju Watkins is going to be what they turn to next, because she's a freshman and she can get a bucket anytime she wants. But I think it would do them better to talk about Don Staley, to talk about Gino Auriemma more, to talk about Tara Vanderveer, to talk about Lisa Bluter and Bill Fennelly. So I don't know why that disconnect is there. I know the women stay in college longer, so they have time to kind of build their brands and get out there and get brand deals and all that. But I think it'd be more worthwhile, like you're saying. I want to know about South Carolina, the team, because Camille Cardosa is gone. Raven Johnson's only going to be there for a couple more years. That South Carolina is about Don Staley, the tough coach from East Philly. Like, she's what that program is. And I want to know everything I can know about Don Staley. I knew she played college basketball and I knew she was really good, but I just saw today she played at Virginia. And I don't know if I could
have told you that. I found it out over the weekend.
Right. So, like, why don't I know that? So I just, like, yeah, I think I love the attention it's getting. I think we could do a better job of making sure that this isn't just kind of a one-hit wonder, and make sure that this is, you know, the norm for women's basketball for years to come.
Yeah, and I mean, because it's like, people, I think, like how kind of quirky Iowa basketball is, like the team, the personalities that they have on the team, because they have personalities, don't get me wrong. But I go to South Carolina's TikTok, and they got the same type of content, and it's not being broadcasted on a national stage. For what reason? I don't know. But my point is, all these girls, all these teams have these, all have these personalities. I think for LSU, it's Flage. I think to be able to stand up till 5 a.m. writing raps, and then you go average 20 in the tournament, bro, you're her. You're her. What is that? I can't even stay up till 5 a.m. to do homework or, you know, work on a package. You want to write an album? Come on, man. Like, that, those need to be the top lines on top of Caitlin and what she's doing. I just hated how the media kind of got lazy. Like, all right, well, since we're all about Caitlin, let's do a deep dive on Iowa. No, let's do a deep dive on the projected four that are going to make the Final Four, which was, I know the SEC did a documentary on LSU this season. I know Iowa got all their national attention, and we saw nothing from South Carolina, which I think was a disservice.
Yeah. And like the other, like North Carolina State, they made it to the Final Four. They were a three seed. They had a great season. Couldn't name a single player on that team right now, if I'm being honest with you.
They're the most irrelevant team in Cleveland.
Right. And that sucks. Like, I mean, they went just as far as UConn. You know what I mean? Like, they put in just the same amount of work as any of these other women that, you know, went to practice every day for 4 years. So it does suck. It feels like it's not equal coverage on all teams. And like, I know, like, Blue Bloods, it is the same in the men's game to some extent. I think, you know, the Iowa State men had the best season of my lifetime, and it didn't feel like we even got the coverage we did during the Hoiberg years. And maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's like bias on my part.
I think that's the Caitlin effect.
And it could be. Like, I think our local media, I mean, Caitlin Clark was kind of the biggest athlete of the winter. So I'm not faulting them, but it sucked to have, you know, Iowa State's best team in decades kind of feel like an afterthought this year. So, and I do want to say, I want to ask you this, actually. Do you think it is a mistake to have the men's championship game late on a Monday night? And I'm not taking a shot. I think the women's matchup was great. Like, I am not shocked that they got 18 million viewers, but I was a little surprised. I mean, these are arguably the two best teams in college basketball this year between UConn and Purdue, and they only got 14 million viewers. Do you think that's a disinterest in men's college basketball? Or do you think that's, hey, don't do this on a Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern?
It's not don't do this on a Monday night. It's do this on a Monday night, but earlier because it's a work night. Right. Sunday, to do it at 2 p.m., you might as well turn on NFL football. That's like watching a afternoon football game in the NFL. So that's why with all this player attention that the women's game is getting, it's almost like the perfect storm. It's like a bunch of attributes playing together to make this cohesive product to where everyone can tune in. As a member of the media, let me tell you, NCAA, don't do that again. 8:20.
Yeah,
no bueno. I'm trying to put the game in the sports block, and I can't air it if the game isn't over. Why Matt Painter was trying to press with 90 seconds left in the game, down 13? Are you stupid? Are you stupid? Wrap it up, Matthew. Wrap it up. I mean, bro, so to answer your question, yes, it's completely too late on a Monday, and I think that has to do with the lack of viewership. And then also, like, come on, man. Purdue, UConn, it was almost too predictable where it's like the only people that are going to be attracted to this game are like just sickos like myself. I just wanted to see a big man off. I wanted to see like who's going to take this one. Glad Klingon put his foot down and gave Edie the business. But nonetheless, if you don't like those two teams, you can just turn it off and go to bed because it's already 8:20. So, yes, to answer your question, I think we need to have a 6 o'clock 7 o'clock at the latest start to get the most potential viewers. And I'm not saying all this so we can keep up with the women's game. I'm glad they're getting the attention they're getting. However, it is far too late for a game, especially if I'm trying to run it in the – bro, I had first half VO, and I couldn't run it because Matt Painter's calling timeouts like he's still in the game. Buddy, it's over. Get on the bus. It made me sick. So I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to air Matthew out. He was ticking me off.
Yeah, I'm convinced Matt Painter has some unspoken beef with local sports reporters because that is a nightmare. Like, you just need that game to get done, and you need to get it in your C block, and Matt Painter wanted none of it. He was like, this isn't airing on a single local news station across the country because this game's going to go till midnight. So,
and he was like, it gave me so much anxiety, like, that I couldn't even read the rest of my scripts. I was just, like, so worried about that because had it not been able to air, I was going to have to improvise and just, like, ad-lib, which I can do, but I'm not trying to do. So, essentially, like, for first half VO, first of all, I think it's a dumb copyright law. If it's first half, bro, just let me air it. It already happened. It's in the past. Yeah. But, like, to wrap it up. Please, I hate when basketball, because it's like, I told the producers, they're like, how much time's left? I was like, 8 minutes. Like, I made it seem like it wasn't that big of a deal because they were up 18. I was like, the game's over. And they're like, that game ain't over. And I was like, don't say that. And then, like, I kid you not, until the end of the B block, that's when it was like clear in my IFB, like, all right, you're good. And man, thank you, God. Yeah. That's all I got to say. But Matt Painter, you have made the shit list.
Yeah. Enemy number one, Matt Painter.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to some transfer talk, bring it a little bit closer to home. Iowa State landed two transfers so far. We got Nate Heisey, the leading scorer out of UNI, 6'6", big body. I think he'll kind of play a mix between a guard and a wing, like kind of a Kurt Jones. And then Brant, his full name, I don't even know. Brandon. It's Brandton.
I think it's Brandton.
And I've been told that he goes by Brant. So I'm just going to call him that instead of try to do the full name. Brant Chatfield out of Seattle started his college career at Wazoo with Jazz Kuntz and DeSean Jackson, who's now at Charlotte and coming to Iowa State. So I guess, excuse me, we've landed three transfers, but we've already kind of talked about DeSean Jackson. I do want to talk about Brant Chatfield a little bit more. He kind of had his stats were just a little off this year. 2 years ago, he looked like a much better player than he did this year. And I think he can do a lot of things, a lot of kind of the dirty work. Think like what Rob Jones does, where he just makes winning plays. He's in the right place at the right time. I don't think Brant Chatfield's going to get a double-double every other game, but he's a guy that off the bench, you can trust him to make the right call And I always say the Big 12, it's a grown man's league. You need to have experience. You need to be in big moments before you get here if you really want to thrive. And he's been in P6 basketball. Like, he's been around the block is kind of what I'm saying. Like, he's not new to, like, really going after guys that are probably bigger, stronger, faster than him. He knows how to kind of utilize what he has. He's not going to be anything he isn't. So I get that it's not, you know, the flashiest. He's not a five-star All-American. He's not going to be at the top of, like, you know, top 10 transfers in the portal right now. But I think, like, these are the guys that TJ doesn't miss on. Like, if you're a guy like this, TJ finds the exact person you need. And I even wonder, you know, I obviously don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but if DeSean Jackson was like, hey, I think you should reach out to this guy, or if Jazz Coombs was like, I really think Grant would be really good in the system. So I don't know. I think it's cool that he already has some connections to the Iowa State team. And he can stretch the floor too. And I think at times this offense has really been limited with how little our bigs could shoot outside of 5 feet. So I'm excited to just see what feel he brings to the offense if he can open it up a little bit coming off the bench.
Yeah. And I can, first of all, I completely agree, but also I don't know if it's necessarily like he's reaching out to Jazz and DeSean of like,
right. Maybe like, not.
I don't think they're taking initiative and being like, this is a great pickup, but I think that they're definitely being asked in the process. Yeah. Just because I feel like in the TJ era at Iowa State, Jazz is a very respected person. I feel like everyone of that first generation of TJ Iowa State players is going to be looked at now as like a good resource if they have played with somebody before. So just to get kind of Jazz's feel on him was probably definitely a call that was made. And then same with DeSean, because they want to bring him in. They're like, what do you think of this guy? You played with him, obviously. But I think to add on to your statement about, you know, TJ never misses on these guys, what these guys are the glue guys.
Yeah.
And Big 12 teams need glue guys. As much as we hate him, we need a Mitch Lightfoot for Kansas to win that 2022 national championship. You know, you need let's name off some Big 12 glue guys.
Mark Vidal, I think, is the ultimate. Oh,
Mark Vidal. I mean, could knock you out and then give you a nice little left hook. I mean, the guy was so versatile.
I freaking love that guy. And like on our team right now, I think I know he doesn't really like Mark Vidal was a starter on a championship team.
Yeah.
But like Conrad Holly, I think he's a great person to have in the locker room. Like Conrad Holly can't make you feel confident as a basketball player. Like, I don't know who can. Like, that guy is the biggest hype man on a bench I've ever seen. And I like these guys are going to play a lot more than Conrad Holly. No disrespect to the CEO, but like you said, when the season gets long, when you have some off shooting nights, when you're tired, when you're bruised up, you need guys in the locker room to pick you back up. And they might not be the guys leading in the box score, but you need, exactly like you said, you just need guys like that in the Big 12, because you're going to take your lumps in a Big 12 season.
Yeah. And again, like you look at
Malik Wilson.
Go ahead.
Malik Wilson for Houston this year, I think, was a great glue guy. I just saw that he's returning to Houston, and I think that's a big deal. I think he'll be really good next year.
Yeah. And if Shed's coming back, man, Houston ain't going nowhere. I mean, brother, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I was going to say is, like, I even look at the teams who made the Final Four, all of them had glue guys. Connecticut had multiple glue guys, like guys I didn't even know, but boy, could they do something for you in transition, on the glass, defending, you know, the low post for Purdue. Like, man, they're everywhere. And then even for NC State, a team no one even thought was even possible of making the Final Four. You got the white guy, Middlebrooks.
Yep. Danny Cannell, you know
curly hair.
Yeah.
Yep. Bro, he was giving Duke Biggs hell. Like he was actually giving Flip the business, and you just need people like that in order to get under people's skin. I feel like Iowa State is missing that Rodman-esque player. Like, you're not going to go and score 11 points, but let me go get you 8 to 9 boards, 4 points, and let me just like antagonize the other team's best player.
Nigel, if you want Rodman, and I don't know if TJ will let Nate Heisey do this, because just the way Iowa State is all business on the court. I mean, when you're shooting a game, you are courtside and you hear all the stuff that the players hear and the coaches hear and the officials hear. Nate Heisey was talking that talk when he was playing for you and I. And I don't know if I like, I know Otz, he doesn't really like his guys doing that. So I don't know if that'll carry over, but he'll talk to you. I mean, he was getting under, trying to think of who they, it might've been Belmont that they played early. And he was chirping. I mean, he was there, and
not the Christian kids.
And in terms of like antagonistic, and I think another guy who kind of does it sneaky is Keyshawn Gilbert. I mean, there's been multiple times where
he's not sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, like you know what he's doing out there, and you can see guys get frustrated either by guarding him or getting guarded by him, where they're just like, "Dude, I hate this." The one that really sticks out to me, I think it was Josh Dix for Iowa. I think it was like in the first 2 minutes of the game, Keyshawn Gilbert picked him up like 70 feet away from the basket, just cookies, stole it right from him. And I don't think Josh Dix played for like the next 16 minutes. Like, you could just feel the frustration on his face of being like, why the hell did that guy steal the ball from me when I'm 70 feet away from the basket? So
we just
I think Nate Heisey could be another, you know, poke the bear with a stick kind of guy and get under your skin and talk that talk. Again, I don't know if Otz will let it happen, but he had a little bit of free reign in Cedar Falls.
Well, and Heisey, he reminds me a lot of Grill. I feel like it's just a lot of it's replacing that 3-and-D guy. And I think you get that guy with a little bit of edge. I mean, I think you're going to get shades of when CG hit Rodney Terry with one of these. And I think we need that.
That was cool.
I'm not against that at all. Yeah. I think what the team lacked at times, what they made up for in discipline this year. So they lacked actual, like, just like edge, like physical, verbal edge. Like, I know, like, it can get overboard. We don't want any Draymond Greens out there, please, for the love of God. But also, you want to have, you know, a bit of, I know people are very against this ideology, but I see a common theme in winning. And I think everyone needs a Grayson Allen on their team. Someone who can give you buckets, but is not afraid to trip you. And I'm not condoning tripping. Please don't crucify me. I'm not condoning tripping. I'm just saying, I want to see someone want it that bad. And just, I need to feel it. I need to feel it through my TV screening. If I'm at a game, I need to feel it on the court, man. Like, we just need that intensity. Because like you said, it's a gauntlet. You need glue. You need intensity. You need focus. I feel like all of that's coming together, man. That's UConn. That is a dynasty in the making. And I think Iowa has the makeup for it. It's just, can we get all the pieces? And what is Dan Hurley so good at? Let me go get one All-American, get a bunch of returnees, and let me do my work in the transfer portal. Let me fill the missing puzzle pieces, and let's go win this thing. And like he said, they make such a hard tournament look easy. So the jig is up. I think in the transfer portal era, Dan Hurley has completely figured it out, which I think is so impressive. And I think him and TJ are cut from the same cloth. So I don't see us too far from that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go as far to say that I want a Duke movie villain on my team, but I will say, you think about, especially in the NBA, the great defensive teams of all time, the Bad Boy Pistons, honestly, even like the Ben Wallace Pistons in the early 2000s, you think of the Kevin Garnett Celtics. I mean, like, almost all of those teams, the Indiana Pacers, when they were, you know, Malice in the Palace, like, you need some dogs. And I think there's a factor of, I want teams to be intimidated when they come to Hilton. I want them to be like, I don't want to get beat up for 40 minutes. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to hear every call we get booed. I want every player to dread coming to Hilton besides the Cyclones. And I think, part of that is, and what is so funny to me, it's so hard for me to dislike Houston because I see so many similarities between Houston and Iowa State. And both those teams are so incredible on defense, and they're all business. Like, Houston and Iowa State are not dirty. They don't talk trash. They don't do anything extra. They just go about their business and make your life a living hell. And there's something about that respectful aggression that both those teams have of just like, this is all game plan and this is all like ideology. You know, we don't hate you, but we're just going to make you hate basketball. And I love that. I get that it's not like optics wise. If you're a casual basketball fan, just sitting at a game, watching it at home, I get that Iowa State and Houston isn't everybody's cup of tea, but there's something about it that just freaking fires me up. And I, going back to the transfers here, I think the coaching staff at Iowa State has been like, we need size. We need, you know, Nate Heisey is 6'6", Brant Chatfield 6'10", DeSean Jackson 6'11". And then William Kyle, my Jackrabbits, my bunnies. I mean, he's got the hops of a Jackrabbit. I mean, he will be must-see TV anytime he's on a fast break because you can just throw that shit up there and he's going to dunk it. So I think a lot of
these he's an exciting white.
He's not. You would think William Kyle is a white guy, but he is not white.
He's not?
Yeah, no.
That name is very Caucasian, but
I proceed. Need you to Google. Also, yeah, if your name is William Kyle and you play for South Dakota State, I think it would be safe to assume. Yeah. but nonetheless, he reminds me of kind of a Jameel McKay, where he doesn't have post moves, but he almost doesn't need them. His wingspan's nuts. His athleticism is crazy.
So he's a sign.
Yeah, a lot like Hassan, where okay. Like he you're not going to give him the ball with, you know, 10 seconds on the shot clock for him to go get one. But if he's cutting and he has an open lane, just throw that up there and see what happens.
It's Hassan. Guys, this is Hassan in a mask.
Yeah.
He's not slick.
Yeah. Yam time.
Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry. Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website, thinkdifferentthinkkeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, thinkdifferentthinkkeen.com.
The other thing I want to talk about, I've seen some, way too early top 25s for next year. And Nigel, I think we're in kind of an interesting. Yeah, we're in kind of this is where I think our relative recency
era
into Cyclone fandom. Right. Like, you started being a Cyclone fan, what, like 5-6 years ago?
I would say like intensely 2019, like when I decided like, okay, here's where I want to go to school. So the Michael Jacobson, Tyrese team, all those right. guys.
And I like mine was probably when I really started paying attention to Iowa State basketball was Royce White. And like, I grew up obviously loving Curtis Simpson and Will Blaylock and Deontay Garrett and all those guys. But when I was like, I understand what's going on. I really remember a lot about the Royce White season. But like, here's the thing. I don't care what sport it is. Iowa State has just never really done well with high expectations going into a season. And like, I've seen the things where it's like, if you're not top 12 in the first week of the AP poll, you don't win a championship. Iowa State just does better. You know, we came into this season unranked, which I thought was bullshit. And we ended the season being the eighth best team according to the AP poll. So like, I don't know how to feel. Every time I see this, I just get nervous. I think of the 2021 football season. I think of the 2015 basketball season. Like, there's just some dreadful, and not like, you know, 2021, we still made a bowl game. 2015, we were a 3 seed, but we just lost right away. So we have success. It's just, I feel like the promise never pays off, I guess is what I'm saying. I would almost rather be slept on. I would rather win in the dark and have nobody know who we are and then just, you know, fly off under the radar and get shit done. But maybe I'm wrong. I think it's important that people are taking note and paying attention to what Hops is doing here, but it scares me. I'm a little scared.
Well, my advice to you would be don't, because the reality of this is I feel like this year is a really good year to be assumed to be a top five team coming in, because you're not number one. We're not number one on any list. Right. So don't, right. My advice to you, don't lose sleep. But when you go to a thing like Maui that we will be in 2024, I think it's very exciting, because you think about the Maui tournament this year, you had Purdue, Tennessee, like a lot of teams that were in the Elite Eight and Final Four. So I feel like what we kind of proved ourselves to be in Big 12 season that we didn't get a chance to prove in the our out of conference games beforehand, I think we'll now have that opportunity to do so. And I think we'll kind of be able to show earlier why we are a top team in the country. you know? And like we said in the last episode, like that's the goal. The goal is to build off of last year. Like if we're still in the same starting point of last year, have we really improved? Have we really moved from, you know, have we moved the chains? My answer would be no. So I feel like as fans, yes, you can kind of be traumatized because other teams haven't, you know, panned out to how we liked, but there's a lot of, I feel like, other determining factors into why things didn't work out those years. I feel like in those George Niang years, as good as those teams were, did they have the most depth? Probably not. You know, the fact that Niang breaks his foot in a few years, like we don't really have an answer to replace him. So, I mean, there's in all those teams, there's kind of a lack of depth. So I feel like transfer portal is the perfect time to get deep. Pause. And I just feel like we're doing that. So necessarily to be, you know, just scared that we are good going to the year. My advice to all Cyclone fans is don't. Okay. Cause the more we try to talk about the past, those ghosts can come back and haunt us. So we don't want to do that either.
That's fair. I wish I wasn't the way I am, I guess. I've been burned before on
your traumatized. I get it.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But no, I think it is important. I mean, we have four. I know Curtis Jones didn't start, but he played just as much as the starter does. So I'm going to say we have four starters returning. And I think Taman Lipsey could be an All-American next year. I think if Keyshawn Gilbert, I mean, we've seen how much Taman Lipsey grew from year one to year two at Iowa State. If Keyshawn even takes half that jump, because I think Keyshawn this year was a much better player than Taman was his freshman year. So, yeah. I mean, if we even get half the leap that Taman Lipsey did between year one and year two from Keyshawn, and then Curt Jones really found himself and basically kept us in the game in the last game of the season, and he was kind of our go-to guy. And then you have Momchilovic, who has all of the moves and the skill set in the world, and you know he's got a year under his belt now. And again, if he takes a leap, so
and all the motivation promise in the world, like, knowing that he feels like the last game of the year was his fault. So right. I feel like right chip on his shoulder, good luck. Whoever's guarding him, good luck, please. I pray to God that you're okay after.
Yeah, Pewaukee's finest is about to get his look back.
We're not talking about J.J. Watt.
No, this isn't the Watt brothers. Kind of the last thing I want to touch on, just because I think a lot of these coaches are kind of close to home in the Big 12. I just like... There's a chain, and this is how it is every year, right? Like one coach leaves for a school, then that opens up a vacancy, which opens up a vacancy, which so it kind of started with Andy Enfield going to SMU, which is not something that even clicked on my radar. Like he took USC to the Elite Eight, excuse me, but like I think a lot of people couldn't tell you who the USC coach was this year. They could just tell you Bronny James played there. But then that opened up Musselman to USC. And then Nigel Calipari to Arkansas. To me felt like it came out of nowhere. I get Calipari hasn't had the success in the tournament, but I thought he was just going to be at Kentucky until he decided to hang it up. I really did. And I don't want it to be like a Bob Knight at Texas Tech kind of thing where it's like, yeah, it's a big name, but I don't know if he's going to have the success he's had. Like Arkansas has deep pockets. They got the Walmart family. They got the Tyson freaking chicken family. Like they do have some donors and they can back up some Brink trucks, but it just seems like a weird fit to me. He just seems kind of like I know Kentucky's not really East Coast, but he's just kind of, he's got that Pat Riley. He's got like that kind of sleek East Coast feel to him. And I feel like Arkansas is just kind of a weird place for him to end up. But nonetheless, is there any coach move that you've seen? We've got, you know, Darren DeVries to West Virginia, Steve Lutz to Oklahoma State. He's from Western Kentucky. And really close, Ben McCollum to Drake. Nigel, I'm guessing you're not super familiar with the Northwest Missouri State as of late, but
I'm familiar.
Okay. They're a wagon. I mean, they put up like 120 points a game. So I'm excited to see if he can bring that to Drake, if he can bring that high power offense. But is there a coaching move that stands out to you? Obviously, as of 10:40 on April 10th, the Kentucky head coaching job is still open. So Is there a job that a coach took that you're really exciting to watch next year?
Cal, I'm because of how, yeah. let's take a second to just please emphasize how that news dropped. Cause like they made it official today, but really when we found out about it, it was at 10:30 at night. I'm like, bro, am I watching The Godfather? Why is this like a drug deal? Were we not supposed to know about this? Like, why is this coming out at 10:30 at night? I could have put this in the block, but okay, I guess I'll put it in the six tomorrow. It's all good. Anywho, no, yeah, I think like you said, the deep pockets is big, and I think that's why Cal's like, all right, if I'm gonna move, I'm moving to somewhere with deep pockets. And I think what Musselman tried to show us with Nick Smith, Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh, all those guys from last year's Elite Eight team, I think they lost in the Sweet 16. I don't know, I forgot which round they lost, but they were Elite Eight or Sweet 16.
They made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, ton of NBA talent on that team. And I think he showed, even without Cal, hey, we can get NBA guys here. We got the money. Like, we'll be all right. And I think that was really the main attraction. I think if Cal can stay in Kentucky for 15 years, despite being the whole Pat Riley stereotype, I think he'll do just fine in Fayetteville. It's kind of the same exact thing, just different colors. You know what right. I mean? Like, when it comes to aesthetic and vibe, like, I was down in Fayetteville last year. It was beautiful. And I think, you know, Cal is going to be – you know, a great fit for a team that kind of just couldn't find their identity. So I think, you know, will he turn the program around next year? Probably not. But I think 2-3 years, Arkansas is going to be right back where they want to be. So I wouldn't count them out. Definitely. But to see Musselman go back to USC, it's definitely exciting, because now the question lies with Bronny entering the draft but still having his college eligibility. Will he go back to USC? Or will he go follow Drew Joyce at Duquesne? You know, those are my two crystal ball predictions, at least for him. But then also the Kentucky vacancy right now, I think Scott Drew's a shoo-in. Because like we were talking about in our group chat the other day, Scott Drew has kind of accomplished everything he can at Baylor. Like, bro, please think about this. Scott Drew was a manager at Baylor. Okay, that was like his introduction into the coaching world. By 2021, he won a national championship and had multiple NBA dudes on said national championship team. Do you know how tough that is? Like, I understand it was the 2021 year where no crowds, all this. Like, yeah. They beat a great Gonzaga team with nothing but pros on that squad. So, and they beat him convincingly. It was like a 20-point win. So, I think Scott's ceiling has kind of, you know, capitalized at Baylor. So I think that's a great move for him. I think, man, for him to be able to finally get that platform, it's almost like the right move at the right time, you know, career-wise. So I feel like that's definitely going to be the best move for Scott Drew. And I think it'd be the best move for Kentucky. But obviously, too, Coach DeVries at West Virginia, I'm extremely scared that they're going to get Omaha. And I think it's just so ironic how we a few weeks ago, we were moaning and groaning about having to play Drake, like, oh, little brother, like last, like they were trying to do this. And I feel like Tucker DeVries was like, you know what? I'm going to play y'all twice now. I watched the pod. And Omaha's like, you know what? I watched the pod too. I want a villain arc story. I'm going to go join the Mountaineers. So I think that's definitely good for Big 12 purposes. Baylor losing Scott Drew is going to be a huge, like, whoa, they're a vulnerable team right now. Let's strike on them. And West Virginia, who was a vulnerable team last year, I feel like is going to take the place of Baylor going forward.
Yeah, and something to think about, something to think on, longtime assistant at Baylor, Jerome Tang, a little bit of a rocky year at K-State. Could he move back to Baylor if that coaching job opens up? And then is Kansas State looking
sprinting back to Baylor?
Right. Like, I mean, and now Kansas State has to find a coach at the end of the carousel, like, because they got in late. So it's always interesting. And there's always like the last team that has to find a coach, and that's never a place you want to be. But and then is it like, do more Kansas State players enter the transfer portal? Are Baylor players going to enter the transfer portal? So it's there's a lot left to be seen is what I'm saying with this current moment. The other thing I want to talk about, Nigel, I don't know if you saw it, and I don't remember what the station handle is, but it was a local station in Lexington, Kentucky, and they, like, went out to Calipari's neighborhood. I don't know if they, like, knew his address, but this is wild. Like Cal Perry is walking his dog, and like a reporter, I don't know if it's an MMJ, I don't know what the deal was, but just like walks across the street, camera on the shoulder, and is like, hey, do you have any comment to Big Blue Nation or something like that? And he's like, I'm walking my dog. And it just like incredible local television content.
What if he said, hey, I'm walking here.
I'm walking over here. That would have been great.
I would have, bro. If I was Cal, I would have been trolling that man. I would went full Donnie Brasco on him. But Eddie, yeah, no, I saw that. And as a photog, I'm asking you this. Is that guy, because I want to get your perspective, is that guy, the photog, is he just going on a walk as well with this camera? Or did he get some like inside information like Cal walks his dog at 10:30 in the morning every day on a Monday? It's probably going to be cloudy. Bring a jacket. But he will be out there on 7th Street. Okay.
I know like Kentucky basketball is like a cult, but like I wonder if they just knew where he lived and they're like, hey, just go post up in a car, park it. If you see him walking, just go up to him and see what happens. Just like send a photog out there. That's crazy if that's what they did. But
could you imagine if you guys sent out, hey, yo, go find TJ. What? What do you mean?
I
don't know about that. I don't want to do that. No, but like, and honestly, given that LSU fans down here, we know where Mulkey lives. We know where Brian Kelly lives.
Everybody knew where Hoiberg lived.
Right. Everyone knows where Prohm lived. So, I mean, like,
right.
Coaches, like, there's a unwritten respect. And I feel like as a local media, when you kind of violate that, if that was the case of like, yo, go camp out and just wait till he walks his little shih tzu and then go ask him the question, you know? So I just felt like a little tacky. Also, odd way to walk your dog. Does he have a baby? He has a stroller while walking the dog. Is nothing in the stroller?
Right.
Is there a basketball in the stroller? What?
The dog wasn't on a leash. I wonder if like the dog gets tired and then he has to put him in the stroller because the stroller is empty and then the dog isn't on a leash. It was just... Yeah. What, just a bizarre scene. Like, I just, none of it made sense to me.
And I just thought it was like a rich guy movie. He's like, let me just bring the stroller. So no one bothers me. Just for the plot, I'm going to bring a stroller. I don't know. But something I did want to bring up. So to answer your question first, weird move by local media. Let's try not to do that anymore. Sure. Cause it's like, where did he get you? What? And then they still posted it. That's like getting denied by a girl at the bar. You record it. And then you post it, brother. Tough. Delete that. Delete that. I did want to bring up. Exactly. This generation has zero shame. But I did want to bring up the amount of mid-major teams that have their star guy gone now. And again, mind you, like Indiana State, some of them lost their coaches. So that's completely understandable. Right. But in this new generation of the transfer portal, has the tournament become a talent show for mid-major basketball players? What do you think?
I think you could definitely make that argument. I just saw the Missouri Valley Conference, you know, all the first team, second team, third team, there's one returning player. And they lost a lot, like the Drake coach, Indiana State coach obviously left. But to see a conference like that just get decimated by the transfer portal, it sucks. And I don't know if there's a harder harder job in college basketball right now than to be a mid-major head coach, because it is almost like a JUCO football coach where you are just constantly recruiting and constantly trying to fill your scholarships because there's so much turnover. And that sucks. Cause I even said, like, think about, you know, Lance Jones for Purdue and Marcus Domask for Illinois. Both those guys were on Southern Illinois last year. And if those two guys played for Southern Illinois this year, the Missouri Valley Conference could have been a three-bid league.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what sucks, is you're seeing kind of this almost relegation where, like, if you play good enough in a mid-major team, you get moved up, like Pavelski, for example. And then if you don't do good enough at that level, you move back down. And I just, you know, all these guys need to do what's best for them. And I'm not saying Pav shouldn't have transferred to Iowa State, but there is just kind of this constant up and down movement now in college basketball. And I don't know if it's good for the game at this point. I don't know if it really – I don't really know who's benefiting. Like, people are still watching the games. Drake is still going to sell tickets. You and I is going to sell tickets. But, you know, I just miss the times where it's like, you know, Jesperson was there at UNI for 4 years. And Emenek or was that Drake for 4 years? And you just kind of had these guys that embodied mid-major basketball, and you're just not really seeing a guy stick around for 4 years at the mid-major level if he's elite, because he'll just transfer to a power six school and that's that. So yeah,
I think that's sucks. There's a benefit in that because think about this. Like, yes, mid-major coaches are now kind of in the same situation as JUCO coaches, but you're able to get a lot more JUCO guys who can make that leap to mid-major. And for a JUCO kid, yeah, and even NAIA, like, it's a ripple effect, I feel like. It gives those two level of players equal opportunity at some point, if they have end of seasons, to make that bounce to mid-major. Then, if the cards fall right, now it's your opportunity to tap dance, my bro. Go take down Kentucky. Yeah. Now you're on a power. Like, if you play your cards right and play the game right, I feel like you can, as a NAIA, maybe a JUCO player, potentially make a power five team. I don't think that's out of the cards. You know, look at Kirk Jones. He kind of made that same leap. Right. So I feel like definitely there are some positives. While you are losing guys like Tucker DeVries, I think a guy like Tucker DeVries is a lot more marketable in power five basketball. I think same for, you know, if he had more years of eligibility, Jack Golke, oh my God.
Yeah.
Put him on a like a team that can make a run. Woo.
Yeah.
That'd be nasty. And I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of talent, because I see it on a day-to-day basis. Our NAIA team, there's a handful of kids who could go give you a few for a mid-major and potentially a smaller power five team. So it's definitely in the questioning. It's just a matter of opportunity. And I feel like with everyone constantly moving, there's more moving, you know, pieces for opportunity. So,
Nigel, I think with that, I think we have kind of come to the conclusion of the first season of Let Him Cook. It seriously feels like a blur. And I can't stress this enough. What a season to start this podcast. I'm so grateful that we've had this platform. I've had a blast. I don't think I've ever been this plugged in to an Iowa State team in a long time. So it's just been such a great season. I think, like we've said, we have all of the we're in a great place for next season. And I think a lot of Iowa State fans are going to be like me and a little pessimistic and say, you know, I don't like expectations, and I don't, but there's a reason that we're being put in these rankings where we are because of the returners that we have and because of the guys we're going to get in the transfer portal. So there's rarely been a better time to be an Iowa State sports fan, and men's basketball is kind of leading the charge, it feels like, in that arena. So
let me just say this real quick. As a Duke fan, man, I'm used to this, so I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
Both my teams.
That's what I think.
Top five.
Right. I think that's what the difference is. Like, Duke always has, right now. Duke always has expectations, and they're just kind of used to it. And Iowa State is like maybe once every 10 years, it's like, oh, they can be really good.
So the weight of that is like, it actually feels like weight.
Right.
So don't, dude, it's all chirping. It's just Jeff Goodman running his mouth. Don't lose sleep over it, please. Go ahead. Take a sip.
My fourth.
It's allergy season, people. I don't know if you've realized.
The last thing I want to say, Nigel, I know we've talked about it. We're hoping to get you guys some content in the off season over the summer, get some interviews lined up, bring some guests on and talk hoops, of course, about Iowa State basketball. So we don't really have a timeline. We don't even really have a roster on who that's going to be, but we will try to get a podcast out there before, you know, the season starts next fall. So, Nigel, with that,
hopefully, man, a few. Hopefully,
what do you got for the listeners? Yeah.
Just want to give a quick shout out to my grandma. She passed away yesterday at 4:30 in the morning. Long live Nana Betty. She was a real one. She was very supportive of my broadcasting career. So it's I'm sad she can't see, you know, the big leaps that I plan to make in my career, but, you know, that's life. But also on the brighter side, tomorrow is my birthday. And then going to celebrate that birthday, I will be going to New Orleans this weekend to watch LeBron James play the New Orleans Pelicans. And hopefully, you know, hopefully it doesn't set out, but hopefully this will be the first time I get to watch LeBron play in my life. And you know what type of LeBron fan I am.
Right.
And we're making history this weekend. That's what we're doing. Yeah. You know, if I can get on the court, at least get a dab up. Oh, I would, I'd probably melt. But yeah, you know, I'm turning a week that was beginning sad into obviously that hopefully the end, you know, caps off with something happy that I can kind of, you know, remember for the rest of my life, because LeBron has been a huge reason why I am as passionate about this sport as I am. So once again, it's we're entering the Bron year. I know a lot of people call 23 their Jordan year. For me, it's my Bron year. So excited. We're excited for more life.
Love you, man. Happy early birthday.
Appreciate it.
I just, again, what a season. Couldn't have had a better co-host. And thank you to Cyclone Fanatic for letting us have this platform. And thank you for our sponsors for letting us do this. So, hey, man, let him cook. What a season. Hopefully bigger and better things next year.
We not done yet. Stay tuned.
It ain't over. We're staying in that kitchen. All right. See you guys. Love you. Go Clones.
Peace.